Okay, welcome back everyone to the Athlete's Mind podcast. It has been a while since we have done an athlete episode on here. We've switched up the content recently, so it's good to be back in the studio. I'm very excited for this episode. A lot of you really like the basketball episodes we did earlier this year, so what a better way to get back into it with today's episode. I'm super excited for this. Southeast Melbourne Phoenix player, Austin Rapp. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing today?
Yeah, not too bad. It's finally good to get some sun in Melbourne, which is good. So now looking forward to summer coming up here, which is good.
Yeah, good on you, mate. Yeah, well, I appreciate you taking the time. You know, we start every podcast episode the same, and that's sort of getting an idea of where the journey for you actually started. So obviously you got a lot of talent at such a young age. So where did the journey first start for you getting into basketball? Was it a young age or was it later on in your life?
I was kind of born into basketball a little bit. My dad played college here. He's American, so he was at college overseas and then he came out here to play professionally. So I was kind of born into it. All my siblings, they're all older than me. So when I was born, I was basically living at a basketball stadium watching them play. And I kind of grew up at Dandenong Basketball Stadium. Like, I was there every day. So my dad really got me into it at a young age, and I've loved it ever since. So I started playing when I was like three, just like not really playing, but, you know, playing around the back with my brother and sisters and whatnot. But my dad really got me into it at a young age.
And was there expectations sort of from your dad, obviously playing at a high level, like for you to sort of continue playing basketball?
I wouldn't say there wasn't a pressure, but obviously you could tell he wanted me to play basketball, and but it wasn't really an issue to be like, you know, like, you've got to play basketball. Like, at a young age, I still played Aussie rules football. I played tennis. I played a multiple of sports, so it wasn't just focused on basketball. But because I was around it so much, because all my family played it, I kind of just fell in love with it. So.
Yeah, nice. I mean, you mentioned some of the other sports you played. Like, that's really awesome to hear. Were there any sort of junior memorable moments, even if that wasn't in basketball, even if that was in Aussie rules, tennis, like you mentioned, any like grand final wins or things that memories that stand out to you that were really big when you were growing up and even recently maybe?
Yeah, well, no, I think the big standout for me, obviously, I won, like, in under 14s. This is for basketball. In football, I was okay, but I didn't really have any good memories there. But for basketball under 14s, we won the VC. That was my first VC, which is like the big league in Melbourne. We won that. So that was the first kind of big thing for me. But then obviously, we obviously made the world's team a couple years back, and for the under 17s, and we won the Asia Cup. So yeah. That's probably right now, that's probably my biggest achievement at the moment, which is winning the Asia Cup and representing my country.
Yeah, nice. And obviously, you mentioned before, like, with your dad and a lot of your family playing basketball, for you personally, was there a particular age where you sort of knew that you could take basketball to the next level and become a professional in what you love? Like, was there a point where you said to yourself, yeah, I can definitely take this to another level and I want to as well?
Yeah, 100%. I think it really clicked for me, really, after COVID. So not too long ago, to be honest. So before COVID, I mean, I had the talent, but I didn't work hard. I didn't really love. I loved it, but I didn't know if I wanted to go to that next level. And then COVID hit, and 2 years I had a massive growth spurt. I think I was like 6'2" before I went into COVID, and I ended up, I was 6'7" out of COVID. So that obviously also helped a little bit, knowing that I could actually go somewhere with basketball. So then it really clicked after COVID. I kind of just started working hard every day, and it's gotten me to where I am now, but hopefully it's only the start of this journey.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, you're on a really good journey. You've made a lot of accomplishments so far, so you're killing it at the moment. But across your journey, I sort of want to ask you, like, would you say there's been, you know, professional players, whether that's in the NBL or the NBA, or even people that you've played with that you sort of look up to and base your game off? You know, talking about the big names, like maybe even some of the Australian basketballers like Dyson Daniels, your Ben Simmons, your Patty Mills, those sort of guys. Have there been anyone like that that you've tried to base your game off?
I wouldn't say I try and base my game, like my playing style is kind of like I'm a big guy, but I like to like go out, shoot threes and kind of,
yeah.
I mean, I can play inside, but I also like to step outside and show what I can do out there. But in terms of like, obviously Mitch Creek, who's on my team right now, he's a big one. He's kind of a four man, and he battles me every day in training and makes me a better player every day. And not just Mitch Creek, all the guys at Phoenix, Alan Williams, Gak, Rhys Vaig, they're all like helped me a lot this year, especially just like, I know it's practice and stuff, but like just making sure that I'm getting my reps and making sure that every time I get my reps, they're pushing me as hard as I can. They're fouling me, like doing the stuff that's going to make me, is going to benefit me in the long term. So I wouldn't say I like model my game off anyone, but I take aspects out of a lot of good Australian basketball people's names, and I kind of take an aspect out of their book.
Yeah, nice. And, you know, seeing like some of those Australian athletes make the NBA, does that sort of motivate you that it is possible? Like even recently, there's been like massive success with the Aussie basketballers making it big. Like how is that for you being a young baller coming up, seeing that?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like obviously Australian basketball's on the rise at the moment. And obviously you see with, you know, Rocco Sikowski and Alex Tsui and the next stars in the NBL, and obviously Dyson and Josh being the benchmarks. It's pretty cool. Like it's a credit to Australian basketball and the way it's coming up at the moment. And obviously it's every kid's dream to make the NBA. And obviously I'm going to strive my best to make that. Obviously it's, you know, it's a tough goal to reach, but it's definitely something that now that I'm seeing these guys do, it's like, wow, who knows, there could be a chance that I could as well. So
yeah, 100%. Now I sort of I want to talk a bit about your current career, obviously with Southeast Melbourne. Now you were just 17 when you were brought on as a train on, I'm pretty sure, for the Phoenix. Now that was part of the NBL 23 campaign. So being young and obviously, you know, not a lot of 17-year-olds sort of get that opportunity. So how did you find that initial experience, and was that something that you were expecting?
So it was, I remember I spoke to Tommy Greer, which is the GM, and he invited me down just for a few trainings after the Australian stuff. And I was obviously every kid pretty nervous and I didn't really know what I was walking into, but now the Phoenix kind of opened me with like wide open arms and brought me in and treated me like they were all the guys were really good, and obviously the coaching staff. So then I didn't really get to train a lot last year just because I had school. So I was at school, so I didn't really get a chance to get in as much, just school holidays and days where I didn't have school. But then this year, Mike Kelly, I have a previous relationship with Mike Kelly. He was at the under-19s camp, Australian camp that we had back in 6 or 7 months ago, right before the NBL season. So I saw him there, and my dad also knows Mike Kelly back in the playing days. So Mike Kelly gave me the opportunity. We sat down and spoke, and it was pretty surreal, honestly. Like, you look back at these moments in like, you're kind of oblivious to what's actually going on. But it's like, it's pretty special that someone my age gets to go into an NBL team every day and feel welcome and get better and develop my game to the next stage.
Yeah. And it's cool how you mentioned, like, you know, balancing sort of playing professional basketball with still being at school. Like, was that sort of something that you found hard to deal with at first? Like, I mean, I can imagine you maybe going to school and people are asking you a lot about it. Like, how did you sort of deal with that aspect of still being in school?
Yeah, exactly right. So I actually dropped the subject. So I was doing four subjects so I could have three periods so that I could go to some practices.
Yeah, right.
And maybe there were some times where I would be there for the first hour of practice and then I had to go back to school. Mm. And shout out to the Phoenix. Like, they were really good with it. They actually wanted me to be at school more than training. So, like, if I had to leave at a certain time or in the middle of the game, Coach Mike would make sure, like, no, you're out. Like, go back to school. So, I mean, yeah, it was tough, but I also, like, it was pretty cool, like, you know, going to training and then going right back to school, Sylvia Mason. But it was also pretty challenging in terms of, like, staying on top of schoolwork. It's year 12 is pretty hard, obviously, so be able to balance sport and then obviously doing my schoolwork was very challenging. But I got on top of it, and we graduated. So
yeah, that's nice, mate. You know, I think, I don't know if you're, did you, you graduated this year, right?
Yeah, just finished. Yeah.
Yeah, that's same with me. So I don't know if you knew if I was 18, but yeah, I graduated this year as well. But I can't imagine, like you said, year 12 is hard enough. I can't imagine doing year 12 and playing professional basketball. Like, so, you know, pat on the back for you. That's a massive accomplishment. So it's very good, mate.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, good. So something I did want to actually ask you about as well was your experience winning the NBL One national championship, which I believe was on your birthday. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Yes.
But how was that overall experience? You know, I'm sure a very exciting day for you, you know, the Big 18 and also winning the national championship.
It was really surreal. So lucky enough, we obviously won the NBL One South championship in a close game against Sandringham. And this was kind of my first Knox NBL One was kind of my first year of professional basketball, like semi-pro. It was a big jump. It's a big jump. Obviously, I came just from 18s. And obviously, I played in the World Cup stuff, but I came from playing 18s against guys my age to playing against guys who were 25 and, you know, big. It was a whole different game. But shout out to the Knox guys, Coach Nunn. They gave me an opportunity, and obviously, I got so much better throughout the year, and obviously was lucky enough to win the NBL One South, and then we went over to Perth and won the championship. It was 3 games in 3 days. We had 7 guys. It got to that last game on the Sunday. We were all pretty dead, but it was kind of like this is the last kind of time we're going to be on the court, maybe all of us together. So we left it all out on the court and we got the win. So it was really surreal. It was on my 18th birthday. We hopped on a flight right after that game, came home, didn't get home till 1 a.m. So didn't really get to celebrate it. But I mean, it was the NBL One championship was the celebration in my eyes anyway.
Yeah, nice. And talking more into some future goals for yourself, obviously 18 years old, you know, a lot of opportunities are starting to open up for you. Where could you see yourself in the next couple years? You know, I know it's sometimes hard to talk like too far into the future because you obviously want to focus on the current goals and where you're at the moment. But are there any goals that you've sort of set for yourself moving forward that you want to accomplish?
So I think right now my head is going towards college basketball. After this season, obviously with the Phoenix, I'll play another NBL One season, and then I'll head over to a college in America. Yet to be decided where that is yet. I've done a few visits at the moment, but I try not to look too far ahead. Obviously, I kind of try to stay in the moment. But a goal, like, to have a successful next few years is have a good NBL One, have a good under 20s coming up not too far away, and just keep going forward with that, and then wherever it takes me from there, it takes me. But yeah, I'm looking forward to going overseas and going to America for college.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, college, that's a very good destination for you, I think. You know, are you sort of, would you be nervous in a way, sort of like leaving family and going to, like, you know, overseas and experiencing almost a new lifestyle? Is that something you'd be sort of nervous approaching?
Yeah, so my older brother is at Hawaii University right now, and my sister is at St. Mary's University right now. They're both playing basketball. So, you know, watching them do it, and I also, my dad's American, obviously, like I said before, and we have family over there. And so I wouldn't feel too far away from home. And I'm like, my dad, because he's American, he always finds a way to get over there and see the kids a lot. So, I mean, obviously, I'll, like, the first a couple of months, I'll be pretty like homesick or whatnot. But hopefully I'll be around a good group of guys. And it's a bit like nerve-wracking, scary, but in terms of it's going to help me develop my game. It's going to help me develop as a person. It's going to help me develop, if there's not a career in basketball, it's going to help me develop a career in whatever I want to study as well. So I think it's a win-win for me and for my parents to get me out of the house, maybe.
100%, mate. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's good, like you saying, like, your brother and your sister, like sort of having a bit of a guide. You know, you're not like just jumping in, not knowing like what the life could be if you went to college. So, you know, I guess that always helps. Now, we're asking a bit of personal questions here. We're almost at the end, but with people you look up to for advice, whether that's family members, I know you mentioned your dad obviously has played a big role for you. Who would you say is the biggest supporter for you? Now, I understand there would be a long list of coaches, family members, but
yeah,
if you could narrow it down to maybe one person or a couple people, who would that be for you?
Yeah. So I think the biggest supporter for me was my grandpa, who passed not too, a couple of years ago now. He was my biggest supporter, and he always believed in me. When I was 5'10" and chubby and wasn't very good at basketball, he would still think the ceiling's up, you know, there's no ceiling for me. So I think him, and obviously I've said my dad already, but also like my brother, he's a big supporter of me. Like he'll always check in on me and make sure I'm doing the right things, but he makes sure I'm still staying humble. And obviously I'm doing all right in terms of like with basketball right now, but he always makes sure that, you know, it's good. It's good to be where I am right now, but it's important to stay grounded, keep working hard. Like you haven't achieved, you've got so much more to achieve, and kind of thing. So I think him, and obviously like my whole family is the same way, and I've got a good bunch of mates that keep me grounded as well. So I think I've surrounded myself with the right people, and I think my brother is a big person that like keeps me grounded. So I would say him.
Yeah, nice. I mean, it's from the sounds of it, you have a very good group of people surrounded you. You know, you've got a good group of mates, good group, amazing family from the sounds of it. So that's obviously really important in, you know, succeeding in life, because like you said, keeping you grounded, it's a very important thing. So that's good that you have that. Now for other athletes sort of listening now or watching on YouTube or whatever, you know, trying to make it at a high level in their sport, whether that be basketball or a different type of sport, what advice would you give them in them trying to make a high level?
I think the biggest thing is, working hard and getting the reps, and obviously having the right mindset to, if you want to be good at something, if you put your mind to it, you can do it. There's no excuses. You can do it. There's no if, what's. I feel like, I think looking back at my old self when I was younger, I would say to myself, I wish I worked hard earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, don't leave it too late, kind of thing. I think that if you want to be good at basketball at a young age, even at middle age, work hard, get the reps in, put yourself around good people, and if you do, like, it's, you don't have to have all the talent in the world. You don't have to, as long as you work hard, get the reps in, keep working, I think anyone can make it as far as they want to.
Yeah, 100%. Some good advice. Now, we just got a couple mental questions. Obviously, the athlete's mind, the biggest focus here on the podcast. The first one that I have for you is, with all the work that you do across basketball and, you know, obviously just finishing school, do you ever feel mentally burnt out? And if so, how do you sort of manage that? Do you have something to take your mind off basketball? Is there people you like to talk to about it? What are you sort of, how do you sort of approach that mental burnout if you do experience it?
Yeah, and I'm sure, well, every athlete does. You know, we work out 6 or 7 times a week. There's obviously going to be times where we come home after a practice, we're like, oh, like dead and tired, and do we really want to do this? But a big thing for me is going to do stuff with my mates, and something I've picked up recently, I'm not very good at it yet, but is golf. I like to. I'm starting to get into golf. I'm not very good at it. Shout out to Ruben Tarangi if he listens in, but he's kind of my golf guy at Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. I'm not very good, but it's something I like to do, and it's something I can get out and not worry about basketball. Kind of just reset the mind, have a bit of fun, still be competitive, but have a bit of fun. And I think that's it's very important to not just focus on basketball all the time. It's important to balance between basketball and your social life and hanging out with mates and going to do whatever you want to do outside of basketball. But then when it gets to basketball, it's important to lock in as well.
It's interesting you mentioned golf. There's so many athletes I've interviewed on here that have said the exact same thing. Like golf is their go-to. Like golfing with their mates is like the biggest escape from what their, you know, their sports. So I'm the same, mate. Like I'm shocking at golf, but it definitely is good fun playing with your mates. So I think that's definitely a good one. Now, just for the last mental question that I have for you is talking about motivation, and that's what sort of motivates you. So when you have bad days, even when you have good days, what is that key motivation that you think to, even when your schedule can get a little bit overwhelming? Is there a certain thing that motivates you to just push that extra mile?
I think the big thing for me, I'm motivated to become a really good basketball player. So if I do come home and I've had a bad day training, I haven't trained well, I kind of always think about next play and next game or next training mentality, and just think about what can I do to get better every training to motivate me to get me to a higher place in the next few years. So whether that's me, you know, I've had a bad training, whether it's me just coming home and resetting myself, go play golf, just to kind of forget about what that happened that day and motivate myself, be like, I'm going to go take a break from basketball now, but when I come back tomorrow to training, I'm going to be locked in. I'm going to be motivated to get better every day. So that's probably the big thing for me.
Yeah, 100%. Now, that wraps up the podcast. Now, I really appreciate you taking the time. It's not all the time we get to interview a professional basketball player in the NBL. So thank you so much for joining us, Austin. I'm sure the listeners will be a big fan of this one. So, yeah.
No, thanks for having me, mate. Appreciate it.
All good. And, you know, I wish you the best. You seem like a great guy and you're working hard. So, you know, big future ahead of you. We'll be looking forward to seeing where you go. So for all the listeners tuning in, this will be on YouTube, Spotify, and all other podcast platforms. Also follow our socials, Instagram, TikTok, and we have some more podcast episodes coming just before the year wraps up. We've probably got two more, so stay tuned for them. Go and follow Austin and go and tune into his games for Southeast Melbourne and also, you know, big future ahead of him. So appreciate you all tuning in, whether you're new or from the beginning. So yeah, appreciate you, and we'll catch you in the next episode of The Athlete's Mind. Thank you.